I invite you to take your Bibles this morning and let's turn together to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to read the first 8 verses of this passage of Scripture. And the title of my message today is Graduating from a Tent to a Mansion. Graduating from a Tent to a Mansion. I'll begin reading in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, or tent, were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that which we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to gather here and also to have a copy of your word and to know, Father, what it's like on the other side to have a body that's clothed in unrighteousness, a body that is like your body, to be with thee forever and ever. And I pray, dear Father, that we might long for that day. We know that right now we're at home in this body, but this body is not eternal. This body will die. It's just a tent. I pray, dear Father, that you would work in our hearts and that we might consider the truth of this passage today. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Back in 1820, there was a little 6-week baby girl who had an inflammation of the eyes. Country doctor applied hot poultices and severely burned the corneas so that the child was blinded for life. When she was 9 years old, she wrote the following poem. Oh, what a happy soul am I, although I cannot see. I'm resolved that in this world contented I shall be. So many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot, nor I won't. That little girl grew up to write 8,000 hymns. Among them were the songs that we sang today. To God be the glory, Blessed Assurance, Rescue the Perishing, and our closing hymn today, Face to Face. Her name was Fanny Crosby. She died in Bridgeport, Connecticut on February the 12th, 1915 at the age of 94 years. She was buried at Mountain Grove Cemetery in Connecticut near her mother and other members of her family. Her family erected a very small tombstone at her request, which carried the words, Aunt Fanny, she had done what she could. Fanny J. Crosby. One person, though, who knew her well, wrote of her death the following, and this is what stuck in my mind of this biographical sketch of Fanny Crosby. She hath struck her darkened tent for the bright glory of heaven's abode. Think about the words of that. She hath struck her darkened tent. She never saw anything in this life. Everything was dark. She hath struck her tent. She took it down. And what did she exchange it for? She exchanged it, as the writer says, the bright glory of heaven's abode. Can you imagine that moment? From the transition from a 94-year-old body into the world of heaven for her at that moment. I thought about her, and I also thought about this passage of Scripture, about the fact that you and I live in a tent. Now, when I was growing up, we did a lot of tent camping, although I never had an official tent until I was out of high school. My brother and I always had a tarp. That's what we used for a tent. We would string a rope between two trees, put the tarp over there, put spikes through the holes, and that was our tent. We didn't have sleeping bags either. We had an old quilt that was sewed up, and we crawled inside of that, and that was our sleeping bag that we slept in and went down the river with Mr. Woods. Mr. Woods had a Korean War sleeping bag that he used when we went down the river, and we were all jealous. It was waterproof, which when we went on camping trips, we needed waterproof. Because my quilt was usually soaked by the time we were done with all the crazy games we played. So I crawled inside my wet quilt while Mr. Woods was inside his dry, military-grade sleeping bag that he had. But you know one thing about a tent? When it starts to pour down rain, and we went through a few of those. Matter of fact, Mr. Woods, when we got there one time, I think it was in eighth grade, we were out on Blackwater River, he said, take your paddles and start digging trenches around your tent, you know, our tarp that we had over there. Why, Mr. Woods? Because we're going to get some bad weather tonight. Boy, we were like scared. We dug trenches all around so the water would go around. Guess what? I forgot about the fact we had holes in our tarp, and it rained in on us. We got soaked that night, but I want to tell you, we were never so scared. We had lightning like you wouldn't believe, and here we were out on a beach, and between two trees, all right, praying that God would be merciful to us, that we wouldn't be struck by lightning. You know, tent camping is not what I would call high on my list of things to do. Most people will go buy a camper, all right? Whitney's have a camper, the Jeps have a camper, who else? The Hafners have a camper, Bill has a camper. I knew I'd get that response. Bill and I are on the same plane, you know. If I can go somewhere, a hotel works for me, all right? It's got air conditioning, I don't have to fix anything, and I can get up and leave it in the morning, and I don't have to pack it up. But anyway, you know, a tent is not something that you want to live in permanently. But do you realize in the Old Testament that's all they had? Until, you know, Abraham lived in a tent for years, we're told. And many others lived in tents for years. That's just how the nomadic people were back in those days. And the Bible describes our body as a tent. It's only temporary. And I'm glad of that this morning. All right? I'm glad of that. I used to have brown hair. My roof has changed colors through the years. I have white shingles now. I had brown for years, now I've got white shingles, and one day they're going to let go, and I'm just going to have a bare plywood roof up there. All right? This is just temporary. I used to be able to jump off the back of pickup trucks and do stuff like that. If I do that now, I have to go to the doctor because I start hurting all over. Why? Because my tent is failing me. It's failing you, too. Now, if you're young here, you're looking at Pastor Brainerd, and you're saying, I don't know what in the world he's talking about. My body's changing all the time. I remember as a kid, you know, when you're growing up and you're getting taller, and I'd go up to my mom doing this all the time. And I finally surpassed her in the 12th grade. And actually, it was the 9th grade. I think I finally passed my mom, and she was just barely 5 foot. And boy, I said, oh, big stuff. I'm taller than my mom. And I was the shortest kid in my class. But I could brag on the fact that I was taller than my mom. My tent was growing. I prayed, Lord, let me be 6'4". As you can see, that was not in the Lord's plans for me. All right? He wanted me 5'8", and that's where he left me. All right? Now, this tent is failing. And one day, kids and teenagers, your tent's going to start failing too. That's just part of what? It's the curse. And the Bible has something to say to us so we don't get worried about it. And it's this. We're going to be graduated one day from a tent to a brand new building. And it's going to endure for all the endless ages of eternity. We'll never have to go see a doctor. We'll never have to go get our blood screens done. We'll never have to have something operated on. It's forever set that we're going to have a building that will last forever. Notice this, please, in these verses that I just read here. For we know because God said so. That's good enough for me. Amen. All God has to do, it's not good enough for the world, though. The world wants the government to guarantee everything. Well, I want to tell you something. I've got something surer than the government. I've got God's word on it that we are guaranteed a brand new home. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now, by the way, this tent wasn't made with hands either, other than the fact that in the very beginning, God formed Adam from the dust of the earth, his hands. And by the way, he was spirit at that time. You understand that from Genesis? He didn't have literal hands that he was looking. He was a spirit at that time. He didn't have a body until Bethlehem. So he formed Adam and breathed into him the breath of life. And then from that point on, it's been the work of God in bringing children and babies into this world. They're marvelous things, aren't they? You know, you see that little thing, you hold that baby in your hands, a marvelous creation of God. But I want to tell you something. Though we marvel at that, and we look at all the DNA and RNA and all the coding and stuff that makes us who we are promised a building in heaven that will not be under the curse. It will not be tent status anymore. It will be permanent status. We're guaranteed that. You ever heard of a taillight guarantee? Anybody ever heard of that? But you know what? Every bed that I've ever bought through the years has this tag on the side, do not remove. All right? And on there, and this is guaranteed to be germ-free and all that kind of stuff, made with antibacterial material. I want to tell you something. Man's guarantees are nothing compared to the guarantee that we have here. We have a building. We have a building not made with hands, eternal, where? In the heavens. In the heavens. That's the guarantee. A house not made with hands. God specially makes them to suit the environment of eternity in heaven. They are eternal in the heavens forever and ever and ever. And we don't know how to imagine that. We can't. We just scratch the surface. It's eternal. It's literally, the Greek word is dwelling place, a place to stay. We're going to live in an eternal body like unto Jesus' glorious body, and it's guaranteed. I want you to see something else here, though. And that is our groaning for a heavenly body. Our groaning. Did you see that in our text? Verse 2. For in this we, say it out loud, please.
Groan.
Oh boy, do we ever groan. Dad, are you all right in there? I'm just trying to pick up something. Lean over to pick it up. Hold up on it because the back doesn't want to work like it's supposed to. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You kids put your hands up, I'm on. Yeah. Brother Patrick, you groan?
I groan, brother.
Well, it starts when his wife hands him the to-do list, right? Last Wednesday, I think it was, Brother Grover said, my wife sure has been keeping me busy around the house. I said, you want to go back to a full-time job? I might do that. It has less hours. So we were thinking about that. You know, groaning. Oh, how he groaned. But I want to tell you something. This is beyond just groaning and pain. This is a groan longing for the day that we're delivered from this tent. And we have a new bed. Now, let me ask you something. Are you groaning for that today? Some people will pay whatever price there is in the world to try to fix up this tent. You know, I have to do a lot of work, and I have to go out to have work done to our bounce houses up at the church. They're made out of canvas. And we are forever having to patch holes in it. Something will break loose, a stitching will come loose, I have to have it re-sewn, have to put patches on there. And you know what I've found over the years about patches? They don't last very long, do they? The stitching starts coming out. I'll never forget, at the third grade, my aunt made me a pair of pants, all right? And I wore them to school, third grade. I was out on the playground, and I was out there playing kickball. Guess what happened? I split my pants from one side to the other. All right, brand new! So I snuck into the office like this, and there was Martha Smith up in the front. And I was standing there, and I had a tear in my eye. And I was trying to cover what I could cover up. And I remember Martha Smith saying, Todd, are you all right? I got to call my mom. I just slipped my pants. And she said, it'll be all right. We'll find you something to wear. So we went around the corner. They couldn't find anything. But they didn't have anything that small. So I called the mom. And, Mom, my brand new pair of pants, I've split them. I was so upset about it. Because I thought I was going to be in deep trouble. My aunt said, you know what? I forgot to double stitch those. I'll put a triple stitching in there. I said, please put a fourth one in there. And I remember I put those pants back on, and I was in great shape from that until I outgrew them. And I passed them down to Robert. But, you know, patches just don't last, do they? We can patch up this body, and there are people that pay big bucks to patch this body up. Facelifts, tummy tucks, all those kind of things. But I want to tell you something. Not going to last. Not going to last. Are you groaning for the new body? Are you groaning to be in heaven with Jesus Christ? To have a body in the eternal that will last forever and ever? Bible says we groan for that. Verse 3, if so be, being clothed, we shall not be found naked. One thing about the new body that we'll have is going to be clothed in righteous garment. I've been doing in my family life skills, we've been talking about the Christian and clothing. And I did the PowerPoint that I did a couple of years ago on standards relative to clothing. And isn't it interesting that the Bible, the book of Revelation, 12 times mentions what we're going to be wearing in eternity. The Lamb's going to wear it. We're going to wear it. All the angels are going to wear it. And the 24 elders are going to have them too. It's white, flowing garments made of linen. And we're going to wear that for all eternity. Now, why would God tell us about what we're going to wear in heaven? Some people already say, well, I'm going to be bored with that. You aren't going to get bored with something made by God. Amen? And it's going to represent something. It's going to represent the righteousness of Jesus Christ by which every one of us, when we have that cloak on, we're going to look down and say, I didn't make this. I didn't make it. I didn't make this body. Everything that I have and own belongs to Him. For all eternity, we're going to have that. I'm thankful that we're not going to be naked. That's one element of the Garden of Eden that's not going to be repeated in heaven. Isn't that interesting? He is going to allow clothing, and it's going to be His clothing for us, long flowing robes that represent the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Are you groaning for that? Are you groaning for that? I want to see, lastly, verses 5 through 8, our guarantee of the heavenly home. Our guarantee. Notice this, please, verse 5. Now He that hath wrought us for the self same thing is whom? Everyone say it.
God.
He's the one. He's the one that makes all things new. He's the one that's making mansions in heaven for you and for me if we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. He's the one that's going to handcraft a body that's going to last for all eternity. I remember Dad had a pickup truck in 1972, and when he brought it home, actually, I had to take it back because they forgot to put a radiator cap on. For some reason, they had taken it off to check it, forgot to put it out. Well, the water boiled out of it. Dad was afraid that the motor had been burned up in it, so he filled it back up, took it back. They checked it out. Everything was fine. Brought it home. And I remember as a kid opening, I was in second grade, opening the door and looking down there, and right on the step said, Body by Fisher. That was a Chevrolet item back in the day. Body by Fisher. It was supposed to be a special design that was made by the Fisher company that did the engineering for the body shapes and what they look. Body by Fisher. It was supposed to be a wonderful statement of Chevrolet products. I don't know whether it was or not, but I just remember that as a kid. They had that special logo that was on the step. Said, Body by Fisher. I want to tell you something. For all eternity, we're going to have a body by God. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. I want you to see this in that latter part of verse 5. Who also have given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. God has put down a down payment right now. It's called the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is a down payment on what's coming in the future. You remember the old layaway programs? I remember as a kid putting Christmas gifts in high school on layaway. We used to have a Grants in town, And I bought some things for my mom and for my sister and for my brother and dad. And I put it on layaway because I didn't have the money to pay for it all. And layaway was, and you prayed that somebody didn't throw away the stuff that was in the back box that you had pulled out. All right? That was what layaway was all about. And I remember going down there to make the final payment. I got to pick it all up, take it home, wrap it up, put it under the Christmas tree. Do you realize that God has done the same thing for you and for me if we know Him as His children? He's put the earnest of the Spirit. He's already paid for it. We just haven't received it yet. Now, if you die before the rapture, your spirit's going to go to heaven, and you'll be with the Lord, but you're not going to have a body until Jesus comes in the air. And He calls us forth with a wonderful instrument called the trumpet. All right? And He's going to sound the trumpet, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, guaranteed. But the earnest is the presence of the Spirit in my heart and life right now. Now let me ask you something in this regard. Do you ever look over your guarantee? Do you ever think about it? Or are you so locked into this world and so locked into this thing right here that that's not even on your mind? I want to tell you something. One of the most glorious truths that you and I have as believers in Jesus Christ is the fact that we have a guarantee of an eternal body in heaven. And the earnest of the Spirit, the presence of the Spirit in my heart right now, when I trust in Christ as my Savior, that is the earnest of what's coming. And I would often look at my layaway ticket that I had, and had all the items listed out, and had the little O sheet, this is what you owe. But when you look on God's, it says paid in full. All we have to do is be there ready and waiting when the trumpet sounds. Amen? Just be there ready and waiting. Now, how are you ready and waiting? You got to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You know, boys and girls and teenagers, we don't go to heaven by being nice and doing what mommy and daddy say. We go to heaven on the merits of Jesus Christ alone. And you have to repent of your sin. You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. That's how we enter into the guarantee that Jesus Christ completed on the cross of Calvary. We have to accept His word for us. I want to finish with these last verses here. Notice verses 6 through 8. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing, same word as we read over there in verse 2, knowing what? Whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Right now, we're not standing in His presence. But we have His person with us, the Spirit of God. All right? For we walk by faith and not by sight right now. I don't see it. I don't see heaven. I don't see Jesus. I don't see God. I don't see anything. Well, I walk by faith. Believing what? This book. Believing this book. And then verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. One thing about it, you're not going to take this body to heaven. How many of you are glad you're not taking this body to heaven? Oh, what a glorious truth! That I have a body crafted by God without sin, without the curse, eternal in the heavens, waiting for me. That's part of our salvation. That's part of our salvation. Not only delivered from sin and from the curse, but given a new body to enjoy all eternity. You wouldn't be able to enjoy eternity in this body. You wouldn't be able to enjoy the presence of Jesus Christ if you were stuck with this body. I've often wondered, what am I going to look like in eternity? And I know what you're praying right now. I hope you're a whole lot better looking. And maybe you'll be 6 foot four. I don't know what we're going to be there. I might be 4'8". I don't know what I'm going to be in heaven. But I'll be whatever God wants me to be. And God wants me to be what He wants me to be right now. That's why He gave His Spirit. So we can have the power to live the Christian life. By now, would you bow your heads, please? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this time together as a church family. And Lord, we rejoice that we have a wonderful future if we know thee as our personal Savior. Lord, we've got the promise of being with thee for all eternity, and that in itself would be enough. But you have told us that part of our deliverance, part of our salvation is a brand new body, delivered from the curse, forever able to endure all the endless ages of eternity. It will never fail. It will never have to be fixed. It will be likened to the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a guarantee to your children. And I pray, dear Heavenly Father, on this Sunday, we might rejoice in all the wonders of our salvation. It's not limited to just deliverance from sin. It's also a deliverance from the body that we have, this tent. And then we're going to have a glorious building. For those who may be here today, Father, that don't know thee as our personal Savior, I pray that your Spirit would bring them into a saving knowledge of thee. Maybe a child, or maybe a teenager, maybe an adult here that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe they have religion, but that's not enough. That's not part of the guarantee to have religion. Lord, I pray that you would draw precious souls into yourself. And I pray that you would give us a wonderful time of fellowship following this service, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.